Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small-batch artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/breadboxmedia. Experience coffee like never before.
Hello, Philip.
Good morning, Ricardo.
I have a question for you. Would you agree that in what we call the banter, I've been a little bit more open than you have? So I listen to our episodes and I say, oh, I'm saying a lot. And Philip is much more clever than I. That's how I look at it. Would you agree?
I am generally, I don't know if private is the right word, but I tend not to share as much publicly.
And yeah.
So it's one of my downfalls, in fact, in preaching that some people speak of. They say, Father, we want more personal examples. And I don't like to do that. And I want to keep myself out of it a little bit. But I think it's the same here. So sometimes you'll say something.
Not only that, but you get me to say things that then afterwards I say, why did I share so much?
So that's pretty good.
There is a TV show that I will not say the name, but the character has a way to get the truth from people. I think that's what you do.
Okay. All right. Well, it's good to see you. That's not intentional, by the way, to try and get that out of you. I think, yeah, it is interesting, though, when you preach, that's always sort of a thing, you know, how much you share publicly about yourself. And like I say, I'm not real excited about that.
So I began this past weekend, and we are recording this in advance. So the beginning of the homily was probably an unnecessary sharing. I showed the congregation what was one of my favorite books. And I say, you may not think I'm a nerd, but I'm nerdy about several things. So my most favorite book is a dictionary of etymology, because I love words and the origin of words, which is pretty nerdy. It was very useful for the homily. But that's the very few occasions where I share stuff.
I shared a very personal example last year with something, and it was trying to communicate a point that I thought it communicated. So I think it was very effective. But a number of other people kind of got to my staff and to me and said, oh my goodness, we felt so bad for Father Philip, because it was sort of something I regret from the past, not scandalous, but regret about how I practiced my faith.
Yeah.
And the response from some people was, oh my gosh, you were too hard on yourself. And I didn't quite communicate exactly to some what I was hoping to communicate, to say, don't do what I did, and here's the way I look at things now.
My concern is when we tell funny stories about our family or our childhood, that people may remember this and may not remember the rest of the homily. The connection may be very clear for us who've been preparing the homily, but may not be enough to overcome that curiosity that people have about their pastors. We really are not avoiding the gospel, and we shouldn't. This is Two Guys and a Gospel. The one tricked into telling more about his personal life than he should is Father Ricardo Martin, the one speaking, pastor at Sacred Heart Parish in Racine, Wisconsin, and also vice chancellor here in the Archdiocese.
And the one speaking here who actually really would like to be with the CIA, I found that fascinating, is Father Philip Ogacki. I'm the pastor at Christ King in St. Bernard Parishes in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin.
We are on the second Sunday of Advent, and we are reading from Matthew. A reminder that this year, the cycle A, is about Matthew mainly. And we are reading chapter 3, verses 1 to 12.
John the Baptist appeared, preaching in the desert of Judea, and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It was of him that the prophet Isaiah had spoken when he said, a voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. John wore clothing made of camel's hair and had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. At that time, Jerusalem, all Judea, and the whole region around the Jordan were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they acknowledged their sins. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God can raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Even now, the axe lies at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I am baptizing you with water for repentance, but the one who is coming after me is mightier than I. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So, John the Baptist, here he is.
Yeah, I could preach for an hour about this gospel. It's a fantastic gospel. To see that the story of Jesus, or the prehistory of Jesus, begins in the desert. And I think with our lack of Old Testament formation, we tend to forget what the reference is here. The desert is the limit of the promised land. So I believe the gospel begins there, the serious part of the gospel. I mean, not, I don't want to say the serious part of the gospel, but the adult Jesus, and before him John the Baptist as the character in Advent. It begins in the desert because that's where the people of Israel went through. It seems like John is denouncing that the people of Israel have not fulfilled that part of the covenant and they need to get out of the promised land again and then begin at the Jordan River, which is the limit of the borderline for the promised land.
What stands out for me is just John the Baptist standing out, his appearance, which is always noted as being out of the ordinary. And that's a call to us to stand out as disciples of Jesus Christ. When you blend in too much, when you don't stand out, perhaps have we made compromises with those things that are not of God or of the world.
So I went to the history and you went to the modern application right away. He's described as a prophet of the Old Testament. Elijah, I believe, is the one that is described exactly the same way.
Right. Tell me more. What else do you see in this gospel?
Well, I see that brood of vipers. That's an interesting way to show the love of Christ to others. So John the Baptist is a prophet, and prophets, he's like a summary of all the prophetism of the Old Testament. So he confronts the authorities right away, which is an implication of what you just said. We cannot just be fine and at peace with everything and with everyone. There are situations of injustice, and the prehistory of Jesus is a social denouncing. So I also see that John the Baptist announces that his is a baptism of water, of cleansing only, but Jesus will come, and in addition to the cleansing, he will be giving us a baptism of Holy Spirit, which is what our ritual of baptism has maintained, that the water of cleansing, but the anointing of the Holy Spirit as being a sign of mission, of anointing and sending out people on a mission. So it's a beautiful way to put it.
It is. I think about John the Baptist's role as a prophet, and not only do prophets go after the authorities, they're also very direct, very succinct, at least as it's recorded for us. But, you know, prophets then and prophets today can be kind of difficult and irritating to be around because they call all of us out of those sins that we fall into, whether it be social or individual. And that's what John the Baptist is doing here. So I think about just that role of prophets and really our role to be prophets today, and sometimes to say and to do things that might not be popular.
Then the message, repent, right? That's what we will use in Lent. Repent and believe in the gospel comes from this gospel. Repent, really, the word in its metanoia, it could be translated simply as change. And we've discussed this before. We did a whole series of talks about just take it as change and you will see how fruitful this is. But it's very interesting because we have to confess that we're recording this on the day of Yom Kippur for the Jewish people. And it's interesting that John the Baptist is reminding us what the Jewish people know very well about Yom Kippur. The beginning of the year, you begin by asking for forgiveness. 9 days after Rosh Hashanah, thing is pronounced. And here is the Jewish mentality. You cannot start again. This is a new beginning in history. And you cannot start again unless you atone for your sins, which is Yom Kippur. the Jewish people today, they will not today when this is coming out, today when we are recording this, the day of Yom Kippur, Jewish people will ask forgiveness to God and to human beings as a way to start the year. And I think that's what John the Baptist is saying. Either we repent, either we atone for our sins, or there cannot be a new beginning. I think that's an interesting application for Advent.
You have a lot of really good insights to the gospel.
Yeah,
so as you saw, I came in actually
too much coffee this morning.
With few notes today, and now I've added to them. So I appreciate that. Yeah, there's a lot here. So I'm not quite sure what direction I'm going to go this Sunday. I'm going to think more about that, and this has helped me to think through that. I like that, starting new by asking for forgiveness, mm-hmm. starting that new year, that Jewish tradition. That's got me thinking now.
You could also preach about what's the difference between a baptism of cleansing and a baptism of Holy Spirit. That mm-hmm. that has been a homily in the past. We have to realize the season is Advent, new beginning, so the Yom Kippur reference can be a good way to discuss that. There are many ideas. At the end, you see also, I don't want to call it an obsession, but we know that Matthew's gospel is the one that deals more with final judgment. And it's all something to reflect, a possibility to reflect about today. You know, the original purpose of this podcast was to do this, to brainstorm ideas for
right.
Sunday, and there are many, many ways to deal with this one.
This has been good. So how about we get together next week? More John the Baptist next mm-hmm. week, I think. So how about we do that, and we'll talk more?
Let's do this.
All right. Take care.
BreadBox Media Programming is brought to you by... It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com. Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at KaneFord.com.